Grace, mercy, and peace be yours today from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And greetings from Zion, just down the street where we are not quite so loosey-goosey and sing Alleluia before it's time. But everybody needs forgiveness. Anyway, maybe you have been living under a rock for the last 6 weeks. If not, you should probably know by now that we are in the final moments of our Lenten theme for this year, God calling us home. Sometimes in life, we hear that call home loud and clear. Other times, it seems very distant, far off, not even in the back of our minds. But someday, we won't be going to church anymore. There won't be any more Wednesday night services or even Sunday services because we will all be at the foot of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will be at the throne of our God, worshiping Him, rejoicing in eternity. Salvation is one of those church words that we use a lot, but what does it mean? Simply, it means to be rescued and to be brought home. But we aren't there yet. And so we could say that we now live in a time of grace. And that's another church word that we use. And simply put, we need all the help we can get from God if we're going to arrive safely home with Him. So tonight, our focus is on us being graced toward glory. To get safely home, we need all the help we can get. It's God's favor given to us because of Jesus. It's the opposite of works, which you have learned in confirmation and hopefully many other times, though I wonder, as loosey-goosey as you are, that works cannot save you. Our text from St. Peter this night lists four qualities for you and I to develop as God graces us toward glory. The first is humility. Humble yourselves so that God can exalt you. I think it was just yesterday I was reading an article. Now, whether you like it or not, I am also a very, very dedicated University of Michigan fan. And I was reading an article about Jim Harbaugh. And he was being interviewed by a reporter from the Detroit Free Press. And Jim says, "I don't deserve $5 million a year." And I said, "You're right, you don't." But he says, I like money too. And I wonder how hard it must be, not just for people who make millions and millions of dollars for coaching a bunch of college kids or whatever it may be, that it's hard in our world to show humility, to be humble. Now, I'm not saying Jim Harbaugh is humble or, you know, practices humility, but it's got to be hard. And our world is not a big fan of humility. It's not just tough for us today. It was tough for Peter, too. You remember Peter says, when Jesus says that they will betray Him, the disciples will, Peter says, "I will never leave you." And then a rooster crows. Peter says to Jesus, "Call to me and I will walk on the water." And he sinks like a rock. You see, it's a struggle for all of us. But this is quality number one. This is a good time during Lent to think about humility. Lent, when we think about who we are and what Christ had to do for us, that he had to be nailed to a cross and die so that we could be graced home. Second, 1 Peter says that we need to cast all our anxieties on him. Now, I know some of you are real excited there. Cast. I'm going to cast my fishing pole. Cast into the lake. But our world doesn't encourage us. It doesn't promote our admitting of our weaknesses, our failures, our struggles, and our worries. We're supposed to keep those to ourselves because that shows weakness, and weakness is bad. Weakness is not something that we should admit or even share with anyone else. Peter struggled with this too. All of the disciples do. Many of us struggle. But Jesus was constantly praying to his Father, the very Son of God, praying for strength, praying for his Father's will to be done, not his. And we see clearly in the Garden of Gethsemane how hard it was for the others. Jesus tells Peter and the other disciples with him to watch and pray. But what do? They fall asleep. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus says, sleep and take your rest later on. Our third piece from this text warns us to be sober-minded and to be watchful. Watchful for the evil one. You see, many people in our world don't believe that Satan is real, that the things we do, the temptations, those are just us being us. There is no higher being or otherworldly kind of creature out there tempting, leading us into sin, but that's exactly what Satan wants. He doesn't want you to think he's real. And Peter knows this all too well. And when Jesus predicts his death, his crucifixion, his suffering, all of those things, Peter, the Bible tells us, takes Jesus aside to rebuke him. Taking Jesus aside. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind on the things, you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. You see, we're focusing. That's the attribute. To be watchful. To focus our eyes on a cross. An empty cross, an empty tomb. And our hearts. And where that is. Our fourth attribute here found in this text. I think this is a jab against our American individualism. Resist him, the devil, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. You're not the only one. You see, our culture would say that it's not all bad. But our world also says that the world revolves around you. I know that because I drive a car on the roads. I know that because I walk through stores. I complain to my wife all the time. If I don't move over in the store, walking down the aisle, the person coming the other direction, we're going to have a real uncomfortable moment when we run into each other. If I don't move to the side, but that's the way our world is built today. It's all about me. And this, even the sufferings that I go through, I have the worst life ever. No one's is worse than mine. No one struggles the way that I struggle. But everybody does. You're not the center of the universe. I'm not the center of the universe. But we are together. You and I, we are the church. We are brothers and sisters, members of the body of Christ, journeying the road to salvation. Peter knew that. He experienced faithful children of God like himself, like you and me, shunned, slandered, killed, made fun of for following Jesus. So let's review the four qualities as we grace toward glory. Humility, knowing that Christ has won our ticket home on the cross. We cast, we give our struggles and worries to him in prayer, knowing that his will is done in our lives. We are sober-minded and watchful, knowing that Satan doesn't want us to know that he's at work. And to resist the devil and the individualistic tone of our world, because it's not about you, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus gracing us home. In his holy and precious name, amen.